This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
PlayStation Pop Experience. We are in the second of our three semifinals, going for that coveted spot in our final matchup for that big gold belt. How you doing? It's PTBN Trivia Night. I am Andy Atherton, one of your co-hosts, and welcome. Thank you for joining us tonight. We have three themed episode champions facing off tonight who will figure out which one of them is going to move on and join Mr. Ryan Everett in those very finals. But before we do, let me get my co-host in here to break it down and see what his thoughts are on tonight's game, Jordan Duncan. Jordan, how you doing?
And I'm doing good. I am not just the co-host of this show. I am also the leader of the search party for Michael Cook. We are searching the woods high and low, leaving no stone unturned. Well, if Mr. Cook's family is listening, we will find him.
I didn't mention this. I am your guy in the chair. I'm like sitting back here. I got the GPS to find my iPhone. Perfect. I got everything. So
my worry is covered. I'm worried he's in the upside down.
Yeah,
that's maybe. My fear.
Could be. We hope he makes it back in time for the third semifinal. So Mike, good luck. Stay warm. And I hope you have like some kind of filtration system to drink water. All right. So, Jordan, you excited? We got our second semi. Our first one.
I am.
Was one of our best games of the year of the whole season we've done.
It came out of the very last set of questions. Poor Logan got a whole lot of questions that were not his wheelhouse, to say the least.
Yeah. Yes, but
I don't say he choked Choking is like when you should win and you don't. I think he genuinely just got hit with a bad stretch of questions that he did not know the answers to, and there's not much he can do there.
Yeah, that happens to at least one person per episode usually.
Yep.
It's just a luck of the draw. I mean, it's random except for the last round where it's always random. We don't write the questions with the contestants in mind. We don't know who it's going to be until we plug their names in right before we're recording. And we won't know till we get to the fourth round what order they're in. So we don't know who's getting what questions. So
absolutely.
So tonight we have I think we're going to have a great matchup tonight. These guys are all, first of all, they're all great dudes. Secondly, mm-hmm. they're all smart, know their pop culture, and all won their respective episodes. So I'm looking really forward to these guys competing tonight.
Me too.
All right. First off, he won our Friends episode, coming to us all the way from Glasgow, Scotland, the Drew McIntyre of PlayStation, Mr. Callum McDougall. Callum, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. Good morning, good evening. Whatever you are in the world,
it's both in this conversation.
Yes,
I'm here to have a good time and to not do worse than my fellow millennial who let like a generation of people down, Logan, who just let everyone down the last time.
Oh yeah, it's tough.
No, I'm just hoping to have I'm hoping to not embarrass myself.
All right, well,
you've already won an episode, so even if you don't do well, you can rest on that, you know, that you made it to the semifinals.
Yeah, you're not good at Jason Sherman yet, okay? Also joining us, he is the winner of our Star Wars episode. The Force was with him on that night. Will it be with him again? Mr. Robert Hawkins. Robert, welcome back to the show.
The Force will be with me about as much as it was with The Last Jedi from hardcore fans. I'm toast. I know a few specific things, but general pop culture, not my thing, but just happy to be here.
All right. Well, we're happy to have you.
We're happy to have you. Is this on? Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H. And finally, rounding out tonight's trio, he is the winner of our 80s episode, the tubular, the bodacious, the radical, the podfather, Scott Criscolo. Scott, welcome back to the show.
I would just like to make it clear that to my good friend, the Kettle Man and the Hawk, that if I get any Ariana Grande or Bad Bunny questions tonight, I'm taking my specially made belt a la Shawn Michaels 94 and I'm walking out of here. I'm going to be my own champion if I have to answer anything about Bad Bunny pinning The Miz.
All right, let me just erase three questions.
Yeah,
real
you better erase the sheet.
I hope
you'll be cucking my questions. No, I'm sorry. No, it's
I hope you don't lose your smile tonight. I really.
I will not be. I won't be beat up by Marines in the woods. Cook my, but I won't be. it's good to be here. I am very honored to be with two esteemed guests with which I've been on pods in the past. Hawk, always a pleasure to talk to you, sir, and of course, Callum, the Kettle Man, and kind of pumped. I'm like these guys, you know. When it just comes to just random questions about Infinity, you just gotta, you know, get lucky, I suppose. Yeah. So I'm a little leery, but let's see what happens. Usually, the ones you least expect to be exciting usually are, like, you know, any Ryan Everett episode going down to the last set of questions. That's different. So, we'll see what kind. I'm looking forward to tonight. It's gonna be fun.
I gotta tell you, being on the listening side of that, you could hear he was not the monster he usually is. You could hear he was a little nervous in that last round at least. So he can be beat in some kind of trivia. So we'll see. Hopefully, whoever wins tonight will provide a great matchup with him and whoever wins the next episode. Gentlemen, you've all been here before and you've earned your way here. So we want to wish you all the best of luck. Jordan, these guys know how to play the game. But for those of you out there who may not have heard us and stumbled upon us for the first time, Jordan, would you please explain how we play PTBN Trivia Night?
Sure. First, this is your first time listening, you are 10 episodes behind. There's 10 previous trivia episodes for you to go back and listen to. The first 9 are themed shows. You know, we did Seinfeld, Star Wars, 80s, 90s, Friends, all kinds of stuff. These semifinal rounds are general pop culture. But here's how it works. Each round has a theme. The first, second, and third round are themed rounds. Then the fourth round is a lightning round, but all of them are formatted the same way. Each contestant will get a turn. They will get 90 seconds to answer 10 questions. The questions are varying in difficulty. We have easy, medium, hard, and very hard. There's 3 easy questions. Those are worth 1 point. There's 3 medium questions. Those are worth 3 points. The 3 hard questions are worth 5 points. And then that 10th question we consider to be a very hard question. If you get that one right, you get 7 points. As I mentioned, there's 90 seconds to answer this. We take the first answer that you give. That has to be locked in, and you can pass and come back because the clock keeps rolling. And it's not a thing where, they're shouting over each other. Each contestant will get their own set of 10 questions per round. So we're going to do 30, 60, 90, 120 questions tonight, as long as we get through all of them with clock.
Yes, and there's 34 points per round. All the rounds are scored exactly the same. Laid out. And gentlemen, as always, the best advice I can give you is make sure you hear every question. Don't stumble on a 1 point easy question when you might actually know a hard 5 point question or a very hard 7 point question. So what is up for grabs? What are you saying? Well, these guys have a 1 in 7 chance of winning, right? Mm-hmm. Is a very, very own championship belt, a title belt. It says on it, you are the Place to Be Nation or the PTBN Trivia Night champion. Has the logo of the show on the front, and on the side plates has the Pop Experience logo, represent the feed here. And I know at least one gentleman on tonight is a self-professed belt junkie, so I think it'll look real nice in his collection. Another guy I will have the pleasure to ship to the Massachusetts. Somebody else, I am dreading the shipping to Scotland. So
I was just thinking, each of them has a 1 in 7 shot of winning the title, but there's a 6 in 7 chance for you of not having to ship it over international waters.
Yes,
so that's true. Callum is our last foreign representative.
Yes, yes, but I love Callum, so I'll do what I have to if he earns his way through the victory tonight and in our final episode. All right, so Jordan, what is our first game we're playing tonight?
So, if you listen to the first semifinal episode, round one was famous firsts. We talked about first time things. Tonight, our first round is famous pairs or duos. So, one, 2. It's our second semifinal episode. Famous pairs or duos is the first round. Every question we ask is going to be about some sort of duo or pair iconic in pop culture. I'll ask the questions. You give the answers. Works pretty simple, right?
Very simple.
All right, Andy, you're running clock tonight when I'm reading questions, and when you're reading questions, I'm running clock. So do you have 90 seconds on the clock?
I do, sir. All right. Who is our first contestant?
Our first contestant of the night is Mr. Scott Criscolo. Scott!
All right.
You ready to kick things off?
Bud and Bud Light. Oh, sorry. I wish I had them both in front of me. No.
I think there was actually three frogs, Bud. Weiser. Right? Right, yeah. All right. Do you have any questions? Right. I mean, pretty straightforward. Everything's about duos or pairs, something like that. No real tricks there.
Okay.
All right. Clock will start, Andy, when I finish the first question. Of course, Scott, you can pass if you're drawing a blank on anything, and we will come back to it as time allows. Mm-hmm. Let's get started with our second semifinal matchup. Scott, good luck to you. Here we go.
Thank you.
Which comic book, TV, and movie pairing are known as the dynamic duo?
Batman and Robin.
Name the comedy duo that performed the famous Who's On First routine.
Abbott and Costello.
Gina Davis and Susan Sarandon go driving off a cliff in the finale of this movie.
Thelma and Louise.
Tom Wopat and John Schneider are actors better known by what character names?
Bo and Luke Duke.
Who played the roles of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid?
Paul Newman and Robert Redford.
Which two characters worked together at Scoops Ahoy on Stranger Things?
Shit. Pass.
Benjamin Buford Blue served in Vietnam alongside this movie title character.
Forrest Gump.
In the Super Mario Brothers movie, who played the role of Luigi?
Pass.
In Boy Meets World, best friends Sean and Corey met on a field trip. Where was that field trip?
Where the fuck's Rotella? He's only going to watch that show. Pass.
What are the names of the brothers, the Fratelli brothers, in The Goonies?
Oh, I just watched this movie, too. Anthony and Francis?
All right, we'll go back to the two characters who worked together at Scoops Ahoy and Stranger Things.
What is his name? Oh, shit. Ah, damn it. It's the... What's his name? Sister and the kid. Ah, oh, damn it. Fuck, I couldn't remember his name.
You know what, though? This is a pretty good start. Yeah, I mean, usually that first one out the gate, I feel like, is the worst spot to go.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So,
Andy, let you know exactly how you did.
Yes, Jordan, if you could add those up while I read the answers. Okay. So which comic book, TV, movie, and pairing are known as dynamic duo? Batman and Robin, that was a layup. Comedy duo that performed the famous Who's On First routine, Abbott and Costello. Gina Davis, Susan Sarandon did go driving off a cliff in the finale of Thelma and Louise. You got Bo and Luke Duke. That was Tom Wopat and John Schneider. Robert Redford and Paul Newman are Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. The two characters who worked together at Scoops Ahoy on Stranger Things were Steve and Robin.
Steve, damn it.
Yep. Steve the Hare Harrington.
Benjamin Buford Blue, better known as Bubba, served in Vietnam alongside this Tom movie character. That was Forrest Gump. John Leguizamo played Luigi in the Super Mario Bros. Movie. Any guesses on who played Mario?
I wasn't even thinking of the movie. I was thinking of the TV show. That's why I was thinking
of TV show's Captain Lou.
Yeah, yeah. Bob Hoskins.
Mm-hmm. Fuck. That's my fault. I was thinking of
the Matt Rotella, Jason Sherman memorial question in the Boy Meets World show. Best friend Sean and Corey meet on a field trip where? At the Philadelphia Zoo. And the Fratelli's brothers are Jack and Francis. You had, I think you said Francis.
Yeah, Francis. Anthony? Right. Yeah, I said Anthony and Francis.
Yeah. You know, Francis's toupee.
Yeah, so, that's what I remember. Francis's toupee.
So damn for score 14, nice start.
14's okay. A good start, yeah. All right. 14 gets us going, and that brings us to our next contestant. Robert, please step to the microphone.
All right.
All right. Robert did really well on the Star Wars episode. I was very, very impressed. That might be the one episode where I felt the most unqualified to even be asking the questions, let alone trying to guess the answers to them. I was kind of in awe. Not just I thought everybody who was on that episode did a good job. So that was a good episode. But all right. Are you ready for your set of questions here, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, same as always. You can pass. We take the first answer you give. That one's going to be locked in. Andy, you got 90 seconds ready to go?
Yes, I do.
All right, cool. First question is this. Name the two roommates who live together on Sesame Street.
Bert and Ernie.
This comic strip features the adventures of a six-year-old boy and his imaginary tiger.
Calvin and Hobbes.
This then-married couple had a big hit with their song, I've Got You, Babe.
Sonny and Cher.
In the 2013 version of The Lone Ranger, who plays the role of Tonto?
Johnny Depp.
What are the names of the twin Weasley brothers?
Ron and Don. I have no idea.
This 1950s band had several hits such as Kathy's Clown and All I Have to Do is Dream.
Pass.
The Festrunk brothers often call themselves what?
Pass.
Which cartoon duo had episodes titled Rubber Nipple Salesman and Circus Midgets?
Beavis and Butthead.
In Parks and Recreation, where do Ben and Leslie kiss for the first time?
The Office.
On Friends, two women dated both Joey and Chandler. Name them.
No idea.
All right, we'll go back up. Back up to the band, the 1950s band. Do you want to give a guess on that one?
Nope.
All right. And the other one you passed on was the Festrunk Brothers, or the Festrunk Brothers. Not sure how I'm saying that.
Wouldn't have a clue.
All right. Then we will end the round there.
All right. Jordan, you want to give a ruling on that one?
Yeah, go through that. We'll get to that there.
Okay. All right. Name the two roommates who live together on Sesame Street. That was Bert and Ernie, of course. Calvin and Hobbes is the comic strip that features the adventures of a six-year-old boy and his imaginary tiger. I Got You, Babe was the then-married couple of Sonny and Cher. In the 2013 piece of crap, The Lone Ranger, who played the role of Tonto, Johnny Depp. Sean Kim would be very proud of this, the fact that you didn't know this one. The twin Weasley brothers were Fred and George. The 1950s band had several hits such as Kathy's Clown, All I Have to Do is Dream, is actually the Everly Brothers. The Festrunk Brothers often call themselves what? Now, they were the Czech Brothers from Saturday Night Live. Does that ring a bell?
No.
They were two wild and crazy guys.
Okay.
The cartoon duo.
This next one was a good guess.
Yeah, it was a good guess. It had episodes titled Rubber Nipple Salesman, Circus Midges. You guessed Beavis and Butthead, but it was Ren and Stimpy. Yep. On Park and Recreation, where do Ben and Leslie first kiss? You said The Office.
Yeah, so I think we'll give them a chance to clarify. Can you?
No, I've never seen a single episode of the show, so.
Okay. Andy, I'll defer to you here.
That's too vague an answer.
I think since it's a hard question, I think we got to give it a no.
It was actually outside Chris Traeger's office in City Hall. So had you said City Hall or something, right. Might have been.
Yeah, if you would have said City Hall, I think we would have given it to you.
Yeah. On Friends, two women dated both Joey and Chandler. Named them. That was Ginger and Kathy for a total of 6 points. So
not bad.
You know, there is a lot of game to be played. So you're still in. It's very much so.
Yep. All right. And we'll finish out the round with Callum. Callum, you won the Friends episode. Would you have gotten that very hard Friends question?
I was thinking about it. I knew Kathy, but I would never get. I would never get Ginger.
I think Ginger. I think she had a wooden leg or something. Correct? And some Joey or Chandler threw it in the fire.
That's who it was. I couldn't even remember Ginger. But now,
I don't remember her name either. That's
Chandler.
The beauty of. The beauty Chandler of having the answers in front of me is nice. Chandler threw it through. Okay, got it. All right. Well, there's no Friends questions for you. Sorry. But we do have 10 questions for you, and three of them are easy, three medium, three hard, and one very hard. Same set of questions. Are you ready to go?
Not really, but let's do it.
All right. Best of luck to you, sir. Andy, you ready with the clock?
I have the clock ready.
All right. First question is this. This TV duo sang the words Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Haas and Pfeffer Incorporated in their theme song.
Pass.
Which celebrity couple had the nickname Brangelina?
Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
Tommy and Chucky are best friends on what Nickelodeon show?
Rugrats.
Who is the famous superhero duo that SpongeBob SquarePants loves?
We'll pass.
This rap duo had a hit in 1991 with their song Summertime.
Pass.
Robert Louis Stevenson authored The Strange Case of These Two Characters Who May Not Be Two After All.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
What are the last names of Katniss and Peeta from The Hunger Games?
Oh, no idea. Pass.
All right. What is the actual first name of Sean's friend Gus in the TV show Psych?
Pass.
Which two Cobra officers have had an on-again, off-again romance throughout the history of G.I. Joe?
Oh, pass.
What Sega Genesis video game is about two alien rappers who crash land on planet Earth?
Oh. I should know this one. Pass.
All right, go back to the top. TV duo that sang Shlemiel Shlemazel in their theme song.
I've no idea. Laverne and Shirley, I have no idea.
All right. The superheroes that SpongeBob is a fan of.
Batman and Robin.
Rap duo, 1991 song, Summertime.
I've got no idea.
Listen, you didn't do as bad as you probably think.
Yeah. You did okay.
Yep.
All right. Let's go through them.
Yep.
The TV duo that sang the word Shlemiel, Shlemazel, Haas and Pfeffer Incorporated was Laverne and Shirley. You got that one correct.
Get done.
The celebrity couple that had nicknamed Brangelina, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Tommy and Chucky are best friends on Rugrats. The famous superhero duo that SpongeBob SquarePants loves is actually a takeoff on Batman and Robin, better known as Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy. Mm-hmm. Voiced by Ernest Borgnine and Tim Conway. My kids used to watch that a lot. The rap duo had a hit in 1991 with their song Summertime. That was DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Oh. You got this one right. Robert Louis Stevenson authored The Strange Case of These Two Characters, May Not Be Two After All, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. The last names of Katniss and Peeta from The Hunger Games is Everdeen and Malark. The actual first name of Sean's friend Gus in Psych was Burton. The two Cobra officers that had an on-again, off-again romance throughout G.I. Joe's history was Baroness and Destro. And Callum, as a video game guy, I thought you were going to have this one. The Sega Genesis video game about two alien rappers who crash land on planet Earth. Toe Jam and Earl.
Oh, I should have got that one.
You got 6 points for the round. So, at the end of one round, we have Scott Criscolo in the lead with 14, and Robert Hawkins and Callum McDougall tied with 6 points. So, we're off to a great start, guys. Anybody's game. We have three more rounds to play. So, it's going to be fun and interesting to see how it plays out. But, before we get to the second round, let's talk about what's going on here on the Place to Be Nation Pop Experience. On the most recent Making Mount Rushmore, Steve Riddle and I shared which movies are set in high school and movies set in college are on their respective Mount Rushmores. Year in Pop, we returned a little while ago with Scott Criscolo and myself, Roque being Gerasimo D'Amato and George Rivellino, Dr. G, and we discussed the news, sports, and pop culture of the year 1989. And looking forward to the next episode, 1990, we're going to have a change in the show. For the first time in our history, we're going to have brand new guests. So looking forward to that, and very thankful for Jet D'Amato and Dr. G for being with us for all those first 17 or 18 shows. Pop Goes to the Couch continues with Gruni, D'Amato, and Greg Diener. They covered the Mighty Ducks Game Changers Season 1, Episode 9, Head Games. Only one more episode to go with those guys. On the third episode of the Most Sensational, Inspirational, Celebrational, Muppetational podcast, myself and Miranda, we shared our love for the Muppets and reviewed Episodes 9 through 12 of Season 1 of The Muppet Show. It was a thing of TV, on TV, excuse me, talks about the late 80s favorite roller games, the Family Channel's interactive game show, and 1950s version of Wheel of Fortune. Battlestar in the 25th Century continues on with Sean Kidd taking his apprentice Scott Shiflett through some of the classic sci-fi shows of the late 70s and early 80s. Pop Goes to Classics carries on, looking at the full-length Disney animated features. Myself, Miranda, and Steve, we discussed 1963's The Sword and the Stone. NBA Team podcast is back with Adam and Andrew. They are previewing the playoffs, which had just started. Blockbuster Rewind returned with myself, Scott Shiflett, Eric Eales. We welcome Matt Souza to discuss the Major League film franchise. On the newest piece of the action, Sean Kidd, Jennifer Smith, Ben Locke, and Logan Crossan celebrated the one-year anniversary of that very show, Piece of the Action, with host Matt Souza, and they did a live watch of Die Hard with a Vengeance. And on the third episode of Into the Spidey Movieverse, Greg and Chico look back at the polarizing Spider-Man 3 from 2007 that was directed by Sam Raimi. So lots of great stuff, lots of variety here on the PlayStation Pop Experience.
Isn't polarizing usually mean it's like mixed, like some people love it, some people hate it? I thought Spider-Man 3 is pretty universally crapped on, no?
I think it is, but some people actually like, I guess, parts of it.
I'm not sure. I didn't totally hate it.
That's
yeah.
True.
Yeah, I mean, it has a lot of fun.
We all hate the dancing scene, though, right?
Yes. The Sandman.
I walked out of a midnight screening of it back when it premiered, just to, like, I didn't want to spend 2 hours of Kristen Dunst complaining about life.
With those teeth.
Oh, God, you are... Watch a bad Kirsten Dunst movie that I like totally did not get was Melancholia. Oof.
One of three movies I've walked out on in my life.
All right. So, back to the game, though. We have Scott Criscolo in the lead with 14 and Robert and Colin with 6. On to our next game. So, you guys are going to try to win an award for being on here. So, we're going to do a category about an award show. On the first semifinal, we did about the Oscars. Tonight, we're going to the small screen, and this category is all about questions around the Emmys. So every question has to do with Emmy award winners, television shows. So that's pretty much it. Nothing really too much more to explain there. So Robert.
Pretty simple.
Robert, you are up first.
All right.
Okay. Callum, sorry. Jordan, are you ready? I'm like trying to think of
the fix is in. Callum's running.
I was trying to think of Book and Jordan at the same time, so that's what I came up with. All right, Jordan, are you ready with 90 seconds on the clock?
Sir, I am ready.
All right, Robert, are you ready?
Sure.
Here we go. Clock will start when I finish the first question. Name the actor that was nominated for every season of Game of Thrones.
No idea. Pass.
What actress was nominated 17 times for her work on Murder, She Wrote, but never won?
Angela Lansbury.
Who is the only actor to be nominated for playing the same role on 3 different series?
Pass.
What was the first streaming series to win an Emmy for Outstanding Comedy Series?
No idea.
Including daytime Emmys, how many Emmys did Pee-wee's Playhouse win?
4.
What was the first year of the Emmy Awards ceremony?
64.
Who was the only first lady to win an Emmy?
Sue Nancy Reagan.
What two performers are tied with 5 for the most Emmy wins for playing the same character?
Pass.
What game show won the inaugural Most Popular Television Program Award?
The Price is Right.
How much must Emmy winners pay to take their award home?
30 seconds. $5,000.
All right, back to the top. Name the actor that's nominated for every season of Game of Thrones.
No idea.
You want to take a shot? The only actor to be nominated for playing the same role in 3 different series?
No, I can only think of people who've done 2. Nope.
What was the first streaming series to win Emmy for Outstanding Comedy?
No idea.
Or the two performers tied with 5 for most Emmy wins for playing the same character. Okay. Yeah, not easy if you can't, you know.
I don't watch TV or the Emmys.
I feel like this one could be tough for all 3 of the guys, though. So it might be an even break across the board. We'll see. If somebody can do well in this category, that might really boost them going into round 3. But let's talk about how you did. Name the actor that was nominated for every season of Game of Thrones. That was Peter Dinklage. You did get this one right. What actress was nominated 17 times for her work on Murder, She Wrote, but never won? Angela Lansbury. I think 3 of those Emmys were Best Lead-In to Monday Night Raw. So, the only actor to be nominated for playing the same role on 3 different series. Now, you mentioned you only knew people who did 2. I only knew that he was on 2 series. It was Kelsey Grammer, who played Fraser Crane on Frasier, Cheers, and also Wings.
He was a Best Guest Actor in a comedy.
Ah, okay. Didn't even know that was an award. So
it is, yeah.
All right, the first streaming series to win an Emmy for Outstanding Comedy Series not that long ago was The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Include this one, surprising, including daytime Emmys, Pee-wee's Playhouse has won 22 Emmy awards. Let's all give Pee-wee a hand. And never mind, he gave himself one. What year was the first Emmy award ceremony? 1949. The only first lady to win an Emmy, I think he was thinking right there with Nancy Reagan, is actually Jackie Kennedy. The two performers were tied for 5 with most Emmy wins for playing the same character. It's Candace Bergen for Murphy Brown and Don Knotts playing the role of Barney Fife. The inaugural Most Popular Television Program Award, it was called Pantomime Quiz Time, which I have never heard of. And the Emmy winners must pay a whopping $400 to take their awards home with them. So tough run, but you got a point, so you didn't get shut out at least. And listen, one point might make the difference. We'll find out.
Yeah, it was. It's tough for everybody. So, all right. So Callum, are you ready, sir?
Yes, let's go.
All right, Jordan, are you ready with 90 seconds?
I almost am. I am good to go.
All right. Clock will start when I finish the first question. Which Golden Girl has 5 Emmy wins over the course of her acting career?
Betty White.
Which Hulu show won Outstanding Drama Series for its first season in 2017?
Pass.
What actor was nominated 12 times with 5 wins for work on the series Family Ties and Spin City?
Pass.
What TV series has the most nominations in history?
The Simpsons.
How many acting Emmy nominations did Jerry Seinfeld receive?
3.
What 2 performers have won leading acting Emmys in both drama and comedy series categories?
Pass.
What male actor has won the most Emmy awards?
Pass.
What television series has the record of winning the most Emmys in its first season with 9?
Friends.
Who was the first African American to win an Emmy?
30 seconds.
Pass.
Who won the first Emmy Award?
Oh my goodness, I'll pass.
What Hulu show won Outstanding Drama Series in its first season in 2017?
Drama? No, pass.
What actor was nominated 12 times with 5 wins for work on Family Ties and Spin City?
No, pass. No idea.
2 performers have won leading actor Emmys in both drama and comedy.
Oh my God.
Well, like I said, Andy, I think this one might be tough across the board. So yeah. Anybody gets a little boost here, it might help them. Callum has struggles as well, but let's talk about what these answers were. You started off well. Golden Girl with 5 Emmy wins over the course of her career is, of course, Betty White. The Hulu show that won Outstanding Drama Series for its first season in 2017 is called The Handmaid's Tale. The actor who was nominated 12 times, 5 wins for work on Family Ties and Spin City, that's Michael J. Fox. You guessed The Simpsons in the next one, which I think is a pretty good guess given how long it's been on. But this one's actually been on a little longer than The Simpsons. The TV series with the most nominations in history, Saturday Night Live. This one stuns me. How many acting Emmy nominations did Jerry Seinfeld receive? You said 3. The answer is 5. I would have emphatically said 0 because I've seen Jerry Seinfeld act. I'm stunned that he got nominated at all.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. The 2 performers who have won lead acting Emmys in both drama and comedy series categories, Carol O'Connor, who of course, Archie Bunker, and then probably In the Heat of the Night would be my guess. Yes, and Edie Falco would be Sopranos and that Nurse show, right?
Nurse Jackie, yeah.
Yeah, Nurse Jackie. So, wow, I wouldn't have got that right, but I know what those guys got nominated for. Definitely would not have got the question right, though. The male actor with the most Emmy awards, Ed Asner. The TV show with the most Emmys in its first season, The West Wing. The first African-American to win an Emmy, Bill Cosby. And the first Emmy Award winner in history, a lady by the name of Shirley Dinsdale, and I have no idea what she won it for.
She was actually a ventriloquist.
Oh, was she on the pantomime game show?
I don't know, but yeah. So she won actually the first Emmy Award. All right. So, Podfather, you are at the podium.
All right.
Jordan, clock is ready?
Yes, it is.
All right. Scott, the clock will start when I finish the first question. What actor won 6 Emmys for his work on Breaking Bad?
Bryan Cranston.
What organization presents the Emmys?
Pass.
What was the first show from a streaming service to receive an Emmy nomination?
Pass.
What show won the first Emmy Award for Outstanding Reality Competition Program in 2000?
Survivor.
What nighttime soap was nominated 24 times for an Emmy and lost each time?
Dallas.
What television series has claimed the most Emmy wins all time?
MASH.
What Emmy winner did a cartwheel after winning their award at the 1979 ceremony?
Pass.
What 2 actresses are tied with the most Emmy wins all time?
Pass.
How many awards were given out at the first Emmy ceremony?
8. 30 seconds.
This actress holds the record for the shortest acceptance speech, which was only 11 words. Who is she?
Valerie Harper.
What organization presents the Emmys?
National Academy of Arts and Sciences. Yes.
What was the first TV show from a streaming service to receive an Emmy nomination?
Time. Ah. Yeah, these are a bitch.
Jordan.
First of all, nobody watches the fucking Emmys anymore, so.
I do, but okay.
Oh, shut up. You watch everything.
Well, because I vote on them. That's why. Jesus.
Wow, like your vote matters for Maisel, Miss Maisel.
It does. I vote for Maisel. Jordan, did he get the second one?
I was looking at my clock, but it sounded like it to me. Scott, yes, we'll judge you on the honor system as you go ahead. I'll tell you how we did here. The actor that won 6 Emmys for Breaking Bad was Bryan Cranston. You got that one right. The organization that presents the Emmys, I did hear you say Arts and Sciences, the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences.
I heard him say National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, which is close enough.
Yeah. I mean, it's a one-pointer, so I don't think it's – watch it be a one-point game. But, you know, like I'd rather be more generous with a one-pointer than a five-pointer, you know. The first show from a streaming service to receive a nomination was House of Cards.
Good show, too.
This next answer you gave, Survivor was robbed of that first Emmy in 2000. The Amazing Race was the actual winner. The nighttime soap that was nominated 24 times and never won, it just lost each time, was Dynasty. Yeah, the television series that claimed the most Emmy wins of all time was Frasier, who we mentioned earlier, Kelsey Grammer. You said MASH. You should have stuck with MASH in your brain here because the Emmy winner who did a cartwheel after their win in 1979 was Alan Alda. Really? The two actresses tied for the most Emmy wins of all time, Cloris Leachman and Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Some of those would be from Seinfeld, some probably from VIP, or not VIP, Veep. Yeah. How many awards were given out at the first Emmy ceremony? I think you guessed 8 is a close guess. 6 awards given out the first one. Yeah. Damn. That would have been 5 bonus points, a nice little cushion there. And the actress who holds the record for the shortest acceptance speech, which is only 11 words, you'd think it'd be that ventriloquist, but it was Merritt Weaver in 2013.
I believe it's for Nurse Jackie. Mm. So, yeah, it was pretty much an even thing Scott got two and the other guys
we
got one.
We
kind of
call this one a wash, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So at the end of 2 rounds, we have Scott with 16, Robert and Callum with 7. So anybody's game. All right. So before we move on to our fun third round, which I really love that we came up with this idea, Jordan.
Yeah.
But before we get there, let's talk about what's going on across the hall at the PlayStation Wrestling Network.
Yeah. Scott walked across the hall tonight to be on with us, but you can listen to Scott in multiple different shows if you subscribe to the Place to Be Wrestling Network feed. There's also a store where you can get some merchandise. You go to tpublic.com. That's T-E-E public, like a T-shirt, and type PTBW in the search. You can find T-shirts, hoodies, all kinds of stuff if you want to buy some things. But here's what you can listen to in the meantime. On the mothership, the Place to Be podcast, Peter Winston joins Scott and Justin for episode number 577. That is so impressive, Scott. Episode 577 of the Place to Be podcast, and they're discussing Saturday night's main event from February of 1992. Lots of Hall of Fame names there. Sid Justice, Undertaker, Roddy Piper, all kinds of big names in wrestling history. Jacob Williams and Tyler Kelly are getting closer and closer to the grand finale of their GWCW list. They are now into the 20s. Their latest episode, they reveal number 30 through number 21. Highway to the Impact Zone has Logan, Jake, Matt Souza and Sean Kidd, and they welcome Tim Capel to the Impact Zone, and Tim shares his TNA memories, which I'm sure is an interesting conversation to have. Tim Capel and TNA, that's a combination that probably needs a few bleep buttons. But anyways, the latest NWA Crock and Roll, the boys continue their four-part Before They Were Crockett series with 7 matches of guys before they were Crockett. They're looking at the Road Warriors, Terry Taylor, Crusher Khrushchev, Ron Garvin, Arn Anderson, and Paul Ellering. That's a pretty interesting topic. Marty Sleaze is concluding his countdown of the 25 best WWF matches from 88 to 97 on Pro Wrestling Love. Here's a cool one. There's a premiere episode of a new show called YouTube Roulette. Sean, Logan, Jake, and Scott go to YouTube once a month. They spin the wheel, and they live watch 4 matches of a show found randomly on YouTube, so you can follow along with them. So who knows what they'll get? Could be something great, could be a whole lot of garbage, but sit down and watch with them. The newest NWA Saturday special, Scott, Dr. G recap the latest episode of NWA Power. Billy Corgan is putting Strictly Business on notice, you guys. And I believe there's a – is it a women's title match or a TV title match? Scott, what happened?
It was a TV title match
That's right.
Last week. But, of course, This coming week we will be previewing the go-home episode of Power as the pay-per-view is Mr. Callum, right? A mere couple weeks away.
Yep. So. Yes, I believe it's 1 week from this Sunday as we record.
Awesome.
Yes, June 6th. That's right.
Two more special relations has Callum, Rory, and Ben coming together to discuss Roman Reigns and the Usos, nationalism in pro wrestling, Cody Rhodes, and their favorite bad matches, plus much, much, much more. And I mentioned Marty Sleaze in his Pro Wrestling Love Countdown, but there's a new episode where he brings in PW's own superfan Stacy to discuss WWE from 2010 to 2014. Get to know Stacy and listen for a whole lot of praise for Sheamus. Here's what you can do. You can rate, review, and subscribe. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music. Basically, if it's a podcast listening device, you can find Place to Be Network by searching Place to Be Wrestling Network. Subscribe, leave a review, and rate us 5 stars, please.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Also, I believe by the time you hear this show, the second episode of the wrestling version of Making Mount Rushmore will have dropped.
Oh, cool.
Yes. Yes, and that is a very, very fun episode. If you love to hear D'Amato just give Gruny a whole lot of crap, that show's for you. It's heel turns and face turns. So it's a fun show. I love Gruny. The guy is a damn treasure. And we had a great crew, though, on that show. Really, really enjoying branching out again. Thank you to Scott, as always, for allowing me to scratch my wrestling itch. So to reset the game we're playing, though, right now, we have Scott in the lead with 16, and we have Callum and Robert right behind with 7. So this round, Jordan, would you like to tell everybody what this is?
I will. Yeah. So if you listen to the first semifinal episode, we decided as a small reward for all of our winners, we will be doing the wild card wheelhouse. In every other round of every other episode, everybody kind of gets the same set of topic questions. We just did 3 sets of questions on the Emmys, and everybody did about as poorly as I would do. But for Wildcard Wheelhouse, we reached out to all of our contestants before we went on the air. We said, what is a pop culture topic that you would consider to be your wheelhouse? The only rules are it can't be something that we did an episode on already. So, for example, Callum won the Friends episode. He couldn't say Friends as his wheelhouse. We can't have Star Wars as a wheelhouse. So something that we haven't done an episode on that you would consider yourself to be an expert in, that you are a really good trivia buff at, we let you guys pick, and we came up with some questions for your wheelhouse. We did this on the last episode. I thought it was really, really fun. Okay. We've got 3 different wheelhouses for each of you. Callum, you're going to go first. I would also say that even though the scores are important right now, because as we go into the fourth round, the highest score gets to go last, so they will know exactly how many points they may need to win. So, Callum, this is a good chance to catch up because you know this is a topic that you know. You gave us The Office as your wheelhouse. Are you ready for some questions about The Office?
I certainly am.
All right. Now, I just thought of something. These are all U.S. office-based. I sure hope that's the one you meant. Otherwise,
that's fine, yeah, because okay. I think when I said The Office, I was thinking it would be the U.S. So that's right. That's what I was aiming for. That's what I was aiming for.
Cool. Otherwise, we have to pause.
Ricky Gervais questions now.
Brand new questions. All right, Andy, do you have the clock ready for us?
Yes, the clock is ready, Jordan.
All right. Callum, your first question, and the clock will start when I'm done here, is this. What was the first prank that Jim pulled on Dwight?
Put his stapler in jail.
What does Pam steal to get Michael to pretend fire her? Pam accused of stealing?
It's one of two things. A paperclip.
All right. Who served on the jury of the Scranton Strangler?
Kobe.
What is Michael's username for the dating site he signs up for?
Oh, pass.
What is the name of Kevin's band?
Pass.
What company buys Dunder Mifflin?
Saber.
Who is Henrietta?
Pass.
What is Creed's New Year's resolution?
Pass.
Why does Michael not want to move to Colorado?
Pass.
Okay, this is a tough one. Name all 10 current and former managers of the Scranton branch.
Michael, Dwight, Jim, Will Ferrell's character. I'll come back to that one. Charles, Robert California, Gabe. I'm only at six. Pass just now.
All right. Michael's username for the dating website
is Loves Young Kids.
Kevin's band name.
They were all like they were all on the tip of my tongue. I'm going to kick.
Yeah,
kick
this myself. Is one where you're going to hear the answer and you go, oh.
Yeah, it's well documented. Jordan is a huge fan of The Office. You've done shows about it. I just binged The Office over the course of late last year. I had to do it before it left Netflix because it was going to Peacock and I wasn't getting Peacock. Well, guess what? WWE Network went over to Peacock, so I got Peacock. So there was that. All right, so let's go through the answers and see how you did. What was the first prank that Jim pulled on Dwight? You got that one correct. That was a stapler in Jell-O. Pam stole Post-it notes to get Michael to pretend fire her.
I knew it was either that or the paper clips.
Yeah, what it is Michael says Post-it notes and Pam says, I've never even stolen a paper clip.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Who served on the jury of the Scranton Strangler? You got that right. That was Toby. The username from Michael uses for the dating site, you were on the right track, but it was actually Little Kid Lover.
I knew it was something dodgy.
The name of Kevin's band, Scrantonicity. Scrantonicity, yeah. Okay. What company buys Dunder Mifflin? You got that right. That was Saber. Henrietta is Dwight's porcupine.
I did not know that one either.
Blame Cook. Creed's 2011 New Year's resolution, that was to do one perfect cartwheel. Why does Michael not want to move to Colorado? It's because the TV channels will be in the wrong order. name all 10 of the current and former managers of the Scranton branch. You
got a bunch of them.
Got a few, yeah. But it was Michael, Dwight, Andy, Kevin, Robert California, Creed, D'Angelo, Nelly, Jim, Charles, Ed, and Henry. So for a grand total of 5 points.
Will Ferrell's character we wouldn't have accepted, but it was D'Angelo. So. But not bad at all.
Just not that good.
All right.
It was the acting manager to the assistant to the manager job.
Right. That was a tough one. All right. Scott, are you ready for your wheelhouse?
I am indeed.
Now, there was some discussion in our behind-the-scenes chat about what Scott would pick, and Andy was on the right track. We thought you'd go horror movies, and you went very – even more specific than that, you went with the Halloween movie franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And that does not surprise me. Scott is quite the expert there. So you've got 10 questions all about Halloween. Are you ready to play?
I just hope I don't tank. actually, be honest with you, these wild card things are actually more nervous than just sucking.
Yeah, because it's like you feel like you got to get them right, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy. All right. I'm ready.
Andy, you good with the clock?
I'm good.
All right, first question. The mask that Michael Myers wears was originally a mask of what actor?
William Shatner.
How old was Michael Myers when he killed his older sister?
9.
Where is 1978's Halloween set?
Pasadena.
Why can't Michael Myers be killed in Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers?
Because he is in the Thorn Cult.
What was the original title of Halloween?
The Babysitter Killings.
What is the tagline of Halloween 3, Season of the Witch?
The Night No One Comes Home.
Name the two actors who turned down the role of Dr. Loomis.
Pass.
What three movie studios have produced the films in the Halloween franchise?
Trankus, Dimension, and Universal.
All right. What is the name of the gas station where Michael obtains a new set of overalls in Halloween 4?
Oh, shit. Pass.
What are the names of the four nurses in Halloween 2?
Fuck.
10 seconds.
Pass.
The two actors who turned down the role of Dr. Loomis.
Gregory Peck and Christopher Lee.
Time.
All right.
Okay. So we,
you read this, right, Andy? Yep.
What?
I was just confused. I got a little mixed up in my head. I'm just trying to remember who reads what.
I mean, I know we have two that we're checking right now. So, number four.
I think the first one we give them.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I'll Google the other one.
No, I know that. Are we accepting what he said? Because this is the what it actually was called. So I think no.
Then I would say no on that one.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So. All right. So here we go. We'll give you your score at the end. The mask that Michael Myers wears originally a mask of what actor? It's William Shatner. Michael Myers was 6 when he kills his sister. He said 9. Oh. 1978's Halloween is set in Haddonfield, Illinois. Why can't Michael Myers?
Can I raise my hand on that? You said the set. I didn't know you.
Like where it was taped.
I thought you meant you didn't say where it took place. When you said the set, I thought you
I said where is the it? Set. Where is it set?
We said where is the set, not where is it set. That's not how it sounded, but I'll let it go. That's not how it sounded to me. If you had said where did it take place, then I would have said Haddonfield. I'm not that stupid. I would have said Haddonfield, Illinois. I knew that. But the way you worded it, it sounded like you said where is the set, like where is the current set right now? It's in Pasadena, but I didn't. Gotcha. It's not how it sounded, but anyway, I'll let it go.
Why can't Michael Myers be killed in Halloween, the curse of Michael Myers? He's under an ancient druid curse. But we accepted what your answer
was. The Talbot cult.
Yes. Yeah. What was the original title of Halloween? You said the babysitter killings. It was the babysitter murders. So you got that one incorrect. What is the tagline of Halloween 2 Season of the Witch, The Night No One Comes Home? You got that one correct. The two actors who turned down the role of Dr. Sam Loomis were actually Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee. The three movie studios that have produced films in the Halloween movie franchise, Universal, Trankus, and Miramax. What is the name of the gas station where Michael obtains a new set of overalls from Halloween in Halloween 4? Is Penny's. And the names of the four nurses in Halloween 2, Virginia Alves, Karen Bailey, Jill Franco, and Janet Newhall, for a total of 7 points.
Not bad.
Still in the lead with 23.
And a quick Google when I say, where was Halloween filmed? Filming locations include Pasadena. So he did get that right in the way that he heard the question. So.
Okay, well, I mean, I wrote it says where is 78 Halloween set?
Yeah, I think what he's saying is that I added a word to it.
Way to where go, is Jordan. We can't blame set. Cook on that one.
Yeah.
I want to cook it.
Listen, where's two, Michael Cook
two,
right
is
now?
That a fiver? Scott? I want 2.5 points. No, I'm just kidding.
Scott, if you could tell us where Michael Cook is right now, we'll give you 5 points.
He is behind the Tomlinson Dam in Oxford, Connecticut. No, it's
if you can I'm tell us right. What sweatshirt Jason Sherman is wearing but doesn't know what it says.
he bought it from Penny's gas station. So. All right, two people down, one to go. Robert, are you ready for your wheelhouse category?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to stick with some scary stuff. You went with the Universal Movie Monsters franchise, which is a pretty fun classic one to do some questions on. We've got 10 questions for you, just like everybody else. Andy, do you got 90 seconds on the clock for him?
You do.
All right. Good luck, sir. First question. The clock starts when I finish this first question. Which actor played the role of Frankenstein, the Wolfman, and the Phantom of the Opera?
Pass.
What is the name of the mummy?
It depends on what movie you're talking about. It's either Imhotep or Karras.
All right. Who kills Dracula in Dracula?
Van Helsing.
Which movie also had a Spanish version released?
Dracula, the 1931 Dracula.
What city is the opera house located in Phantom of the Opera?
Paris.
Which monster had two movies released in 3D?
The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Name the four movies that are start with the title The Mummy's Blank.
Hand, Ghost, Tomb, and Curse.
How is the Wolfman killed?
In what movie?
In the original Wolfman.
He's beaten to death with a silver-headed cane he bought from an antique shop by his own father.
In Son of Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein's son moves into his father's castle. What is the son's name?
Wolf.
Name all the monsters who were met by Abbott and Costello.
The Frankenstein monster, the Wolfman, Count Dracula, the Invisible Man, Clarice the Mummy, and Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, although they're not technically universal.
Which actor played the role of Frankenstein, the Wolfman, and the Phantom of the Opera?
Take my word for it, no one did.
Okay.
Like that, no actor played all three of those parts.
Okay. What answer do you think we'd have?
I mean, I don't know, because look, the Phantom of the Opera was played by Lon Chaney Sr. and Claude Rains. Claude Rains was not in Frankenstein, or you could go Herbert Lom if you're doing the Hammer film, or Jared Butler. If
I know, right?
Andrew Lloyd Webber musical.
These guys are a mess. I'll make a belt for each other and we'll just leave. These guys are a mess. They can't get any of the questions.
The Phantom of the Opera, the Frankenstein monster was played by Bela in order. Karloff, Lon Chaney Jr., Lugosi, and Glenn Strange. The Wolfman was only played by Lon Chaney Jr., so there's no actor that meets that criteria.
Okay.
Got it?
There's no bonus points.
Take my word for it. I watched these movies every year since I was about seven. So.
Yep, me too.
All right. Andy, let him know how he did. This is a good round.
Which actor played the role of Frankenstein, Wolfman, Phantom of the Opera? We had Lon Chaney.
I think the misstep is there's a Lon Chaney Sr. and Jr.
Right, exactly.
Yep, that's right.
What is the name of the mummy you had in Imhotep, Who Kills Dracula, Van Helsing? Which movie also has Spanish version released? That was Dracula. What city is the opera house located in Phantom of the Opera? It's Paris. You got that one correct. The movie that had two movies released in 3D, that was The Creature from the Black Lagoon. You got the mummy's titles, which was The Mummy's Curse, Hand, Ghost, and Tomb. You got Bludgeoned with a Silver-Headed Cane for How the Wolfman Killed. In Son of Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein's son moves into his father's castle. What is the son's name? You gave us one word. We need the entire name because it's a hard question.
So far as I know, just Wolf von Frankenstein.
Okay.
All right, we'll give that to you. It was Baron Wolf von Frankenstein.
Baron's a title, I believe.
Name all the monsters who were met by Abbott and Costello. We have Invisible Man, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, Frankenstein, and the Mummy. So,
Dracula and the Wolfman are in Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein.
Oh.
Take my word for it. It's the first movie I ever saw.
Wow.
I was introduced to it when I was 2.5 by my grandmother 2 weeks before she died.
Were they all shot in Pasadena?
Yeah, you're right. They all would have been. Yep. So give him 2 points for that too.
Calamari left.
I'm just thinking, right, this has descended into chaos. I think we should just all go through it to find out. I mean, it's really close anyway. I think we should just all go through.
I think if five person finals, right?
Oh, and technically they actually met the Creature from the Black Lagoon on TV.
Okay.
All right. So grand total of 33 points for that round. So changes the game up a little bit. At the end of three rounds, we have Robert Hawkins with 40, Scott Crisco with 23, and Cal McDougall with 12. Everybody's actually still in this game. Yep. So
I don't think I am.
Okay.
I mean, mathematically, you are.
Yes, mathematically, you are, Cal. Yeah. All right. So before we get to the final round, let's talk about some other great podcast feeds you can subscribe to. Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position feed is the home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, The Journey Through Infinity, Hot Tokes, Brother Sister Rewatch, You Heard About Pluto, Bianca's First Time, and much, much more. Also check out the North-South Connection podcast feed. It is the home for Wrestling Warzone, No Holds Barred, The Extreme Three-Way Dance, The Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast, The Year That Was, Shrink Wrap, TNA Never Dies, Rank and File. Jordan, what's going on with your TV tournament on Rank and File?
The 80s and 90s themes are coming very, very, very soon, as early as possibly by the time you hear this, listener. It should be on the feed already.
All right. Also, Glenn and Scott Butler are continuing their spectacular journey through music, films, and more on the Non-Toxic Fanboys podcast, where they try to enjoy the things they love. Find them at Non-Toxic Fanboys on Twitter, nontoxicfanboys.com, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Join our rejuvenated Place to Be discussion group on Facebook. Go to Facebook, look up Place to Be, and request an invite. Discussions and fun with wrestling, movies, tournaments, and all forms of pop culture. The 2021 streaming project is underway, determining the greatest NWA / WCW wrestler of all time. Go to Facebook, look up the GWCW matches group, and join and discuss the nominees. Don't forget to check out PlaceToBeNation.com each and every day. We have new voices, fresh takes, bringing new articles on topics in the world of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including This Week in WWE with Trent, Steve Riddle's Wonderful World of Disney Reviews, Paulie's Perspective, and Matt's live-action Disney movie reviews. And if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, or use PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon. It takes you right to Amazon and helps out Place to Be Nation with no cost to you. So, back here, let's reset. We have Robert with 40, so you'll be going last. Scott with 23, you'll be going second. And Callum, you'll be going first because you have 12 points. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is our lightning round, gentlemen. Just anything in pop culture is on the table. So you just do your best. Here are all the questions. All right. Callum, are you ready, sir?
Yes, ready. The comeback's on.
All right. Yes.
Here it is.
Jordan, are you ready with the clock?
You know I am.
All right. Clock will start when I finish the first question. What's the name of the alternate dimension in Stranger Things?
Pass.
What music group performs at the wedding at the end of Bridesmaids?
Pass.
What rapper performs on Usher's Yeah?
Pass.
What reality show tells eliminated contestants to pack their knives and go?
Survivor.
Who played Mrs. Robinson in The Graduate?
Pass.
Where is the character Sheldon Cooper from on The Big Bang Theory?
Texas.
What comedy became the first film directed by a woman to gross over $100 million at the box office?
Pass.
What are the names of the Sanderson sisters from the movie Hocus Pocus?
I should know that one. Pass.
What video game makes you use an animus to view your ancestors?
I should know that one as well. Pass.
Place these online platforms in order of which they launched first. YouTube, MySpace, Google, Yahoo, and Facebook.
Yahoo, Google, MySpace, Facebook, YouTube.
All right, back to the name of the alternate dimension, Stranger Things.
Oh, pass.
Was a music group performed at the end of Bridesmaids? Debbie does Dallas.
Yeah. Callum, you know what, though? You got the very hard question right, which is something not a lot of people do on this show.
Oh, so. That makes my score a wee bit more respectable.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, you can lift your head high. And then you go back to bed because it's very, very early there. So here's how you did. The name of the alternate dimension of Stranger Things is called The Upside Down. The music group that performs at the end of Bridesmaids is Wilson Phillips. The rapper on Usher's Yeah is Ludacris. The reality show where eliminated contestants are told to pack their knives and go, you said Survivor. If that's how Survivor is played, it's a lot more brutal than I thought. If they have knives, it's actually Top Chef. Anne Bancroft played the role of Mrs. Robinson in The Graduate. Sheldon Cooper is from Texas. We had Galveston, Texas. We'll accept Texas as the answer there in The Big Bang Theory. What comedy became the first film directed by a woman to gross over $100 million at the box office? It was the movie Big, starring Tom Hanks. The Sanderson sisters from Hocus Pocus are Winifred, Mary, and Sarah Sanderson. The video game that makes you use an animus to view your ancestors is the Assassin's Creed series. And then you did get this right. Yahoo 1994, Google 1998, MySpace 03, Facebook 04, and YouTube 2005. So 10 points in the final round.
All right, very good.
I'll take that.
Yep, not bad.
All right, Scott, you are up. You need 17 points to tie Robert. 18, you take the lead. Are you ready?
Can Rob read my questions so you two mush mouths don't speak to me in Swahili during the reading of the questions? Come on, Rob. I'd rather have Lon Chaney read my questions. No, I'm fine. Go ahead.
Senior or junior?
The fifth. Bubba Hotep. No. No, I'm good. I'm good.
I'll read this as Buddy Hackett, okay? All right.
Okay.
Get a touchkin pop. All right. So, Scott, are you ready, though?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Jordan, 90 seconds on the clock. Yep. All right. Here we go. Clock will start when I finish this question. What actor won the inaugural Razzie Redeemer Award from going from a flop in Geely to hits with Argo and Gone Girl?
Ben Affleck.
What is the name of the skyscraper in Die Hard?
Nakatomi Building.
What author wrote the book Jurassic Park?
Michael Crichton.
Where are the Jackson 5 originally from?
Indiana.
What district is Katniss Everdeen from in The Hunger Games?
Pass.
On Community, what is the name of Troy and Abed's talk show?
Pass.
Who was the first Bachelorette in 2003?
Pass.
What is Rihanna's real name?
Pass.
What are the names of the Team Rocket characters in Pokemon?
You gotta be fucking kidding me. Pass.
All in the Family had 7 spinoffs. Name them.
Jeffersons. Archie Bunker's Place. Good Times. Maude. Gloria. 7?
Said 5.
Oh, that's 5.
There was 7, though.
No, okay. Who else on the fucking show had a spinoff? Maude? Good.
Time.
I couldn't even. I would have probably not gotten. Was that the very hard? Because whatever you had after that, I probably
that was the very hard.
The other two, I've never even heard of, Scott. The other two shows. So.
Those were the 5 that counted, really. But all right.
Yeah.
What were the other two again? You mind repeating that?
Yeah, we'll get there. Yep. The actor who won the inaugural Razzie Redeemer Award by going from a flop to a hit was Ben Affleck. The skyscraper in Die Hard is the Nakatomi Building, Nakatomi Plaza. Michael Crichton did write the book Jurassic Park. We give him this one here, Andy. He said Indiana. He just didn't say the city for the Jackson 5.
Well, if we gave Callum,
we gave Callum Texas.
Wow, yeah. You really were looking for the city?
Yeah, Gary, off. Indiana.
Coming back to this show.
Yeah, the district that Katniss is from in The Hunger Games, District 12, which I believe is Gary, Indiana. So I've been there before. It ain't nice.
Joe Jackson didn't feed them either, so.
On Community, Troy and Abed's talk show is called Troy and Abed in the Morning. This is where I felt Scott just lose hope here. The first Bachelorette was Trista Sutter. Rihanna's real name is Robin Fenty. Scott, I felt for you with this run of 3 questions here. The names of the Team Rocket characters in Pokemon are Jesse and James. And then All in Family 7 spinoffs. So you got the 5. You got Maude, Good Times, Jeffersons, Archie Bunker's Place, and Gloria. The other two are shows called Checking In and 704 Hauser.
Are those even shows?
I've never heard of them. Yeah.
Yep. 704 Hauser was their address, but I've never even heard of those. Okay.
All right. For a total of 6 points, which leaves you with a total of 29 for the game. So, Robert, you
three
have...
Three grown men and he asks a Pokemon question.
A quick Google of 704 Hauser says it's a show from 94 that lasted 1 season. It's a black family lives in Archie Bunker's old home.
Wait a minute. And the show was in 94?
Yeah, but it's a spinoff because it's in Archie Bunker's house. Wow. Yeah, never heard of it.
All right, Robert, we're going to make you do the last round, though.
That's fine. I might answer Triple H for every answer, but keep going.
Well, Scott will be happy with it.
All right, so are you ready, sir?
Sure.
All right, Jordan, 90 seconds on the clock?
Yep.
All right, here we go. What Hollywood actor played himself in the film Zombieland?
No idea. Pass.
Marlon Brando could have been a contender in what iconic 1954 film?
On the Waterfront.
What superhero is referenced in every episode of Seinfeld?
Superman.
Who is the oldest Kardashian sister?
God. Kim.
What was the name of the MTV prank show hosted by Ashton Kutcher?
No idea.
Who was the first African-American man to be an EGOT winner?
Sidney Poitier.
What was Freddie Mercury's real name?
I don't know.
The fifth Elder Scrolls game was called...
Triple H's Greatest Adventures.
What 1948 Alfred Hitchcock movie starring James Stewart was shot to look like one continuous take?
Oh, God, I'm going to be embarrassed. You said 50... What year?
48.
Is it Rear Window?
Name the members of Hollywood's Rat Pack.
Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin... God, my brain's going... Can't think of the third guy, so it won't matter if I get... Martin Wright, so Dean Martin Wright, so I can only name three of them. Peter Float, no, I can't remember.
All right, actor play himself in Zombieland?
Nope, no idea.
MTV prank show hosted by Ashton Kutcher?
No clue.
Time.
All right.
Well, this one ended up being all about the wheelhouse, so here's how we did in the final round, though. The Hollywood actor who played himself in Zombieland was Bill Murray. Marlon Brando could have been a contender. Yes, in On the Waterfront. Superman is referenced in every episode of Seinfeld. I didn't realize it was every episode. I knew he was in there a lot. But,
unusual stuff.
Yeah. The oldest Kardashian sister, of course, duh, Courtney.
Okay.
Apparently that's a Kardashian sister. Didn't know
that. I can tell you what the first Kardashian was in Star Trek, if that counts.
The MTV prank show hosted by Ashton Kutcher was Punk'd. The first African-American man to be an EGOT winner is John Legend, so that has to be pretty recent. Freddie Mercury's real name is Frederick Bulsara. Am I saying that right, Andy? Bulsara? Yeah. All right. The fifth Elder Scrolls game was called Skyrim. The 48 Alfred Hitchcock movie starring James Stewart shot to look like one continuous take. That is Rope. And the Rat Pack, you got Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr. You missed. You mentioned a Peter Lawford, Frank Sinatra, of course, and Joey Bishop is the one I think we're struggling to really come up with there. So, but it doesn't matter. You had enough points going into the round. You survived and came out victorious. Andy, why don't you give us a final wrap-up of the episode?
All right. Final wrap-up is Cal McDougall with 22, Scott Coscola with 29, and Robert Hawkins with 42. So that means, Robert, you will be moving on to our finals to join Ryan Everett in that battle upcoming in a few weeks to a month.
Who will join? Like Hulk Hogan versus the Brooklyn Brawler.
Well, there's going to be a third man in that one, and who will that be? Well, we'll find out between Greg Diener, Ashley Cruz, and J. Arsenio D'Amato. All right, so, Jordan, any final thoughts on how this game went?
Yeah, I mean, really, it was about the wheelhouse. Like, that's where the bulk of the points for the night came. And so if our other semifinalists are listening, obviously the wheelhouse is a category. So start thinking about what you want some questions on. We won't reveal that till the actual episode when you listen what the category is. But it pays to be an expert in at least one or two categories. You know, Star Wars and Universal has carried Robert so far. Let's see if he can carry him one more time.
And hopefully Michael Cook didn't fire off all his flares in his flare gun to get him out of the woods wherever he is.
How far is he from Worcester? Would I be able to see him?
quite possibly. You
never know. Part of Connecticut?
Yeah,
I don't want to say he's lost, but I think he's outside Callum's house right now.
Fuck, shit, there he's there.
All right. So a big thank you to Cal McDougall, Scott Scull, and Robert Hawkins for competing on this semifinal episode. Once again, congratulations to Robert for moving on to the finals. For Jordan Duncan and the hopefully returning on our next episode, Michael Cook, I am Andy Atherton. Stay tuned. In 2 weeks, we will see you in semifinal number 3. Take care, everybody.